Fulton County, Georgia. 62. Juliet remembered a day meant for dying. She had been sent to clean, had been stuffed in a suit similar to this one, and had watched through a narrow visor as a world of green and blue was taken from her, color fading to gray as she crested a hill and saw the true world. And now, laboring through the wind, the hiss of sand against her visor, the roar of her pulse and heavy breathing trapped in that dome, she watched as brown and gray relented and drained away. The change was gradual at first, hints of pale blue. Hard to be sure that's even what it was. She was in the lead group with Raff and her father, and the other 7 suited figures tethered to the shared bottle of air they lugged between them. A gradual change, and then it became sudden, like stepping through a wall. The haze lifted, a light was thrown. The wind buffeting her from all sides halted as stabs of color erupted. Shards of green and blue and pure white, and Juliet was in a world that was almost too vivid, too vibrant to be believed. Brown grasses like withered rows of corn brushed against her boots, but these were the only dead things in sight. Further away, green grasses stirred and writhed. White clouds roamed the sky. And Juliet saw now that the bright picture books of her youth were in fact faded, the pages muted compared to this. There was a hand on her back, and Juliet turned to see her father, staring wide-eyed at the vista. Raff shielded his eyes against the bright sun, his exhalations fogging his helmet. Hannah smiled down her collar at the bulge cradled to her chest, the empty arms of her suit twisting in the breeze as she held her child. Rickson wrapped his arm around her shoulder and stared at the sky while Elise and Shaw threw their hands up as if they could gather the clouds. Bobby and Fitz set the oxygen bottle down for a moment and simply gaped. Behind her group, another emerged from the wall of dust. Bodies pierced the veil, and labored and weary faces lit up with wonder and new energy. One figure was being helped along, practically carried, but the sight of color seemed to lend them new legs. Looking up behind her, Juliet saw a wall of dust reaching into the sky. All along the base, the life that dared approach this choking barrier crumbled, grass turning to powder, occasional flowers becoming brown stalks. A bird turned circles in the open sky, seemed to study these bright intruders in their silvery suits, and then banked away, avoiding danger and gliding through the blue. Juliet felt a similar tug pulling her toward those grasses and away from the dead land they had crawled out of. She waved to her group, mouthed for them to come on, and helped Bobby with the bottle. Together they lumbered down the slope. After them came others. Each group paused in much the way Juliet had heard cleaners were prone to staggering about. One of the groups carried a body, a limp suit, the looks on their faces sharing grim news. Everywhere else was euphoria, though. Juliet felt it in her fizzing brain, which had planned to die that day. She felt it across her skin, her scars forgotten. She felt it in her tired legs and feet, which now could march to the horizon and beyond. She waved the other groups down the slope. When she saw a man fiddling with his helmet latches, Juliet motioned for those in his group to stop him, and word spread by hand signal from group to group. Juliet could still hear the hiss from the air bottle in her own helmet, but a new urgency seized her. This was more than hope at their feet, more than blind hope. This was a promise. The woman on the radio had been telling the truth. Donald had truly been trying to help them. Hope and faith and trust had won her people some reprieve, however short. She pulled the map out of a numbered pocket meant for cleaning and consulted the lines. She urged everyone along. There was another rise ahead, a large and gentle hill. Juliet aimed for this. Elise ranged ahead of her, tugging at the limits of her air hose and kicking up startled insects from the tall grass that came up past her knees. Shaw chased after her, their hoses near to tangling. Juliet heard herself laugh and wondered when she'd last made such a noise. They struggled up the hill, and the land to either side seemed to grow and widen with the altitude. It wasn't just a hill, she saw as she reached the crest, but rather one more ring of mounded earth. Beyond the summit, the land swooped down into a bowl. Turning to take in the entire view around her, Juliet saw that this single depression was separate from the 50. Back the way she had come, across a valley of verdant green, rose a wall of dark clouds. Not just a wall, she saw, but a giant dome, the silos at its center. And in the other direction, beyond the ringed hill, a forest like those from the legacy books, a distant ground cover of giant broccoli heads whose scale was impossible to fathom. Juliet turned to the others and tapped her helmet with her palm. She pointed to the black birds gliding on the air. Her father lifted a hand and asked her to wait. He understood what she was about to do. He reached for the latches of his own helmet instead. Juliet felt the same fear he must have felt at the thought of a loved one going first, but agreed to let him. Raff helped with her father's latches, which were nearly impossible to work with the thick gloves. Finally, the dome clicked free. Her father's eyes widened as he took an exploratory breath. He smiled, took another, deeper one, his chest swelling, his hand relaxing, the helmet falling from his fingers and tumbling into the grass. A frenzy broke, people groping at one another's collars. Juliet set her heavy pack down in the grass and helped Raff, who helped her in turn. When her helmet clicked free, it was the sounds she noticed first. It was the laughter from her father and Bobby, the happy squeals from the children. The smells came next, the odor of the farms and the hydroponic gardens, the scent of healthy soil turned up to claim its seed. And the light, as bright and warm as the grow lights, but at a diffused distance, wrapping all around them, an emptiness above her that stretched out into forever. Nothing above their heads but far clouds. Suit collars clanged together with hugs. The groups behind were scurrying faster now, people falling and being helped up, flashes of teeth through domes, wet eyes and trails of tears down cheeks, forgotten bottles of oxygen dragging at the end of taut hoses, one body being carried. Gloves and suits were torn at, and Juliet realized they'd never hoped for any of this. There were no knives strapped to their chests to cut away at their suits, no plan of ever leaving those silver tombs. They had left the silo in cleaning suits, as all cleaners do, because a life cooped up becomes intolerable, and to stagger over a hill, even to death, becomes a great longing. Bobby managed to tear his glove with his teeth and get a hand free. Fitz did the same. Everyone was laughing and sweating as they managed to work zippers and Velcro at each other's backs, shake arms loose, work heads out of ringed collars, tuck strenuously at boots. Barefoot and in a colorful array of grimy undersuits, the children squirmed free and tumbled in the grass after one another. Elise set down her dog, which she'd kept pinned to her chest like her own child, and squealed as the animal disappeared in the tall green fronds. She scooped him up again. Shaw laughed and dug her book out of his suit. Juliet reached down and ran her hands through the grass. It was like weeds from the farms, but bunched together in a solid carpet. She thought of the fruits and vegetables some had packed away inside their suits. It would be important to save the seeds. Already she was thinking they might last more than the day, more than the week. Her soul soared at the prospect. Raff grabbed her once he was free of his suit and kissed her on the cheek. "What the hell?" Bobby roared, spinning in circles with his great arms out and palms up. "What the hell?" Her father stepped beside her and pointed down the slope into the basin. "Do you see that?" he asked. Juliet shielded her eyes and peered into the middle of the depression. There was a mound of green. No, not a mound. A tower. A tower with no antennas, but rather some silvery flat roof jutting up and half covered in vines. Tall grass obscured much of the concrete. The ridge grew crowded with people and laughter, and the grass was soon covered with boots and silver skins. Juliet studied this concrete tower, knowing what they would find inside. Here was the seed of a new beginning. She lifted her bag, heavy with dynamite. She weighed their salvation.